But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Well, if you remember back a long time ago, the first Sunday in Lent, we studied the temptations of Christ in the wilderness, where Satan tempted Jesus' obedience to his heavenly Father. Last Sunday, we studied a Canaanite woman's faith tested by Jesus. Now, what can we glean from these lessons for our preparation or for the cleansing of our hearts? Jesus and the woman both were being prepared. Jesus, of course, was being prepared for his ministry. His heavenly Father had brought him into that wilderness for those temptations, and he used, as you remember, Scripture. He quoted Scripture, the Word of God. For the Canaanite woman, she said, "Yea, Lord, but the dogs even eat of the crumbs that fall off the master's table." Fervent prayer, fervent petitions. Well, this Sunday, our gospel lesson brings us to a crossroads where we will make a life-changing decision on how we treat our prepared, cleansed heart. We've been taught how and why God creates and makes in us new and contrite hearts, whereby we, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Think about that phrase, perfect remission and forgiveness. Who is the one that's perfect? He passes it along to us that we can be fully, unconditionally absolved, forgiven of our sins in order for us to become more and more Christ-like. Now, I quoted just before that from the collect for the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and as well, in that same collect, we acknowledge that it is God who dost forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. For David the psalmist tells us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions or our sins from us." So what are we to do with all this information? How are we to put it to work in our souls? God is now calling us to our response, which will ultimately define our faith and our obedience. We now ask God to fill our clean, contrite, swept, and garnished hearts with his virtues by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, if you think of these virtues are our good habits. Virtues point us to God. And they take us away. They take out of our sight, out of our hearts, our minds, and our souls that desire to sin, to succumb to temptation. Now, I'm not going to go through all the virtues, but we do know that we're infused with the theological virtues at our baptism and with the cardinal virtues. Those are acquired. Those are acquired through our faith and belief based on those theological virtues. That's a great Christian education study to go through those. So with this, with our asking God to fill our hearts with his holy virtues, our response can only come through humility, which will define our penitential nature through our obedience and our faith. Now the parable is this. Now I made a copy because there's one certain portion of it where it becomes that parable. It's of the worthlessness of self-reformation. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, "I'll return unto my house from which I came." And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Well, while I was away, somebody cleaned up, so now I'm going to watch what I can do. "Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." Now, in our gospel lesson this morning, it ended, he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Now, this same scripture is in the gospel according to St. Matthew, and I'm not going to go back through that parable of the worthlessness of self-reformation, but it ends with this statement. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. So shall it be even unto this wicked generation. That we all know that the Israelites, the chosen race of God, they turn their backs. They turn their backs on God, and look what happened with Jesus. They fought him tooth and nail until they nailed him to that hard wood of the cross. You know, this parable emphasizes that we are taught that no man hath quickened his own soul. We just can't do it. We're not supposed to be able to do it. We have to ask for that help, and God is where we go for that help. Our response is in the humble words of the psalmist. Try me, O God, and seek the ground of my heart. Prove me and examine my thoughts. Look well if there be any way of wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, the clean house being referred to is the clean heart. You know, even though it sounds like a good condition, it really describes what can exist in our souls, spiritual emptiness. Jesus is teaching the dangers of leaving one's soul a vacuum. Now, every time I read this verse or think about it, I think about a jar of pickles. You know, you sit there and you just grind and you grind on that top, and all of a sudden it goes pop, and it's sucking all that air around it in. So where we have a swept and garnished, contrite heart, we have to put something back in it. Just like that pickle jar, we take the lid and it pops, and it pulls all that air in. Well, just as this one demon said, you know, I'll just go back where I was, and they find that their house has been swept and garnished, so they go get seven of their buddies and say, hey, come on, let's have a party. If you think of that number, seven, that's where the apocalyptic numbering, that is a perfect number. So with seven demons, think of the destruction that they can cause. And more than that, think of the destruction that they can cause to our souls. You see, we only receive the benefits of repentance when we respond to God. Here's why. There's a great danger to our hearts by not being occupied by the loving, protecting presence of God that comes from the indwelling of His Spirit. Jesus is teaching that the result of a prayerful, penitent, Christ-centered preparation of our hearts results in a heart that is not only swept but garnished. Now, what do we do with our swept and garnished heart? We pray for God's presence, that very life-giving presence, whereby we acknowledge Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, as the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus stresses through one of his Beatitudes. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That we keep that word in our heart. And if you look at chapter 14 in the Gospel of St. John, that talks a lot about and teaches us how the Holy Spirit actually brings that understanding to us. With someone that is not a believer, that doesn't have that Spirit of God dwelling in their hearts, they're just reading a book. And I have known several universities and colleges that teach the Bible as an English course. That's what you do when you take Latin and Greek, especially Greek, with the Old Testament. What a promise of hope this is, that God calls us His blessing. The blessings of His kingdom come to those who keep God's word in their hearts. The crucial teaching is that we don't just heap praises on Jesus, but rather we respond to Him. We respond. Our penitential nature, we respond to Him. We pray that He will prepare our hearts to be swept and garnished for His indwelling presence. You see, we abide in God's Word, and we grow in the greater knowledge of His love for us, which sets us free from the world's lure of his wicked ways. One day, I have no idea when, but I just remember this song, and it's not that I have a photographic memory where I can just remember these things. You know, there's this thing called the World Wide Web where you can go and just look up anything. So I went and put these few words in of a lyric, and it came up and gave me the song. So it goes like this. Once you have met the devil, there ain't no way he'll let you go. It's a country song, so we got to throw a little of these words in there. When I'm not chasing demons, there's demons chasing me. There's things I can't leave alone because they won't leave me alone. It's always my favorite sin that grabs a hold of me. Isn't that the truth? You don't go down here on the list about 57 and say, I think I'll do that one. What about your top 10? You're going to kind of stick to those top 10, but we're not supposed to do that. So just leave those alone. And the last line that ends with this verse said, maybe I'm afraid of being free. Maybe I'm afraid of being free. That I'm so comfortable that this singer is telling us that the lure of the world has a firm grip. I just don't want to let it go. I don't want to even think about trying to make a change. But maybe I'm afraid of being free. We want to be free. We want to be free in God's will for us. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, are we going to allow the sinfulness of our human nature prevent us from living a life in the love of God, both in this world and in the next? The very penitential nature of our Lenten fast can be defined as our proper response. You see, through our discipline of prayer and thanksgiving and our study and meditation on his word, and remember that Jesus taught us that the blessings of his kingdom comes to those who keep God's word in their hearts. We are led to a faith and a belief whereby our hearts are cleansed, being swept and garnished, and are filled with his abundant grace and blessings by the power of his Spirit. Our proper response is summed up by St. Paul. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not at your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're God's created. We belong to him. So why do we fight it? We give to him. We give it all to him. This is the very crux of our Lenten journey. Surrender. We unconditionally surrender our hearts and our souls and our minds, whereby they are filled with his presence to guide us to our ultimate end, life everlasting. Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed all might, majesty, power, and dominion, most justly due this day, both now and forever, world without end. Amen.